Welcome to From the Heart with Daryl Underwood, pastor of Servants Heart Chapel in Clovis, New Mexico. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's sermon. Now here's Pastor Daryl.
Continuing in our series on habits for holiness, there are certain things that we want to do to strengthen ourselves spiritually and maintain our walk being ready when Jesus comes. We're talking about it tonight, being ready when Jesus comes. And there are things we do that help us with that. Now, last week we started the first one. What was the first one last night, guys? I'm sorry? Reading the Bible. That is correct. You might want to write it down. Reading the Bible. And so this week, we will be talking about habits for holiness, prayer. Our second habit for holiness is prayer. If you have your Bibles, you can look to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, and as it came to pass that as he, referring to Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So they sought him, praying, and they wanted to learn how to pray. And so hopefully you're very familiar with what he says next, giving them an example for prayer that we know of as the Lord's Prayer. Now, we might come back to that later, but we're not going to get to that right now. I do want to start out with saying prayer was a part of Jesus's life. He spent a great deal of time in prayer and expects us to do the same. Prayer is any time we talk to God. Anytime we think about things and discuss things with the Lord, that is what we mean by prayer. Anytime we thank Him, we express our love for Him, anytime we confess to Him, anytime we pray for others or ourselves, anytime we talk to God about others or ourselves, we are praying. Prayer, my memories of prayer start out very, very early. My mom, though she was at the time, she was not a Christ follower. She definitely has some certain Judeo-Christian ethics and believed children should be taught basic prayers. So I remember being 3 years old and saying my bedtime prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I prayed that every night for many, many years as I lay down to sleep, remembering that I'm going to die someday. And I'm going to put my faith in Christ when that time comes. And then I remember being taught that it's important to pray whenever we have a meal. A prayer of thanksgiving to God, offering our prayer to the Lord. And I remember being taught God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. And that's what I prayed as a child. I remember my first answered prayer. I'm pretty sure I was around 6 years old, and we were in preparation. So it was almost 40 years ago this December, because we were in preparation. We were getting ready. I was getting dressed for a Christmas program at school. I was attending a Christian school, so it was celebrating Christ, and I was getting dressed, and I could not find my dress shoes. And I was very concerned about that, because I did not want to go to the Christmas program in my tennis shoes. I was going there to worship and celebrate what Jesus did for us. And I wanted to be dressed in my absolute best to honor Him. And I couldn't find, I was really worried about it. I thought, well, I'm going to pray and ask God for help. And I knelt down next to my bed and I asked Jesus to help me find my dress shoes, because I wanted to honor Him for this program. And I said amen, and I started to get up. And I remember distinctly to this day, I remember having my eyes closed as I was standing up. And as I was standing up and had my eyes are closed, and then I opened my eyes. And the moment I opened my eyes, I was looking right at my dress shoes. That was the first answered prayer that I remember. Prayer has been a big part of my life. When I was 17 years old, and I'd fallen away from God, and I was trying to live life my own way, and I fell into a pit of absolute hopelessness, and God reached out to me at that night and said, "Are you willing to try it my way now?" And I readily did so, and I felt called to a Bible college more than 1,000 miles away in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I was in Phoenix, Arizona, so it was a long ways away. And this little Bible college that I knew almost nothing about, but I felt I needed to go there. And I went there a few days before classes started. So there really wasn't anybody there yet, but they set me up in a room, one room temporarily until the boys' dorm was ready to receive students. And I spent my time in prayer. I had nothing, by the way, just a few clothes, a few books. That was it. And I had a Christian music tape. And I noticed they had thrown away a tape player that wasn't actually meant for entertainment. It was actually meant for dictation. They used to, when you were in an office environment and you sent out a lot of correspondence, you record it by voice, and then a secretary would type it out and send it out. And so they had machines that were just for that. And it played audio. It had a basic speaker, and it had stop, start, and play. So it worked for music tapes too. And so I had that as my music player. And I would spend time in my room alone with God. Because at that moment, I had no idea what God had in store for me. That was 1992. I had no idea what God had in store for me. But I knew one thing. I knew my old life was gone. All my buddies that were doing drugs or in gangs, all that stuff was in the past. I wasn't doing that anymore. I was looking in the future, and I was going to start the future right. I spent a great deal of time in prayer, crying out to the Lord during those times. During that time at the school, I discovered the prayer room. They had little prayer rooms at the school, because you shared a room with people, and sometimes privacy was pretty much non-existent, except you could get alone with God in the prayer room. And I would spend a great deal. Sometimes I'd be there early in the morning or late at night often, and there'd be many times I would fall asleep while praying. I'd be praying, and next thing I know, I'm waking up, and I felt bad about it at first. I was like, I'm supposed to be praying, and I'm sleeping? And then I thought, when I have kids, if I was talking to them and they fell asleep, would I be upset about that? No. And God wasn't either. In fact, when I became a parent, I learned it's actually very endearing. And some days you're very happy when they're asleep. prayer. Prayer. So for more than 30 years, for almost 30 years, I have seriously studied and practiced prayer. My grandfather was a preacher. He was actually an evangelist, would travel to different cities and preach special services. And he gave me a heritage to follow. I brought a Bible that actually belonged to him. And I've told the story about this Bible. But I actually got this Bible from a different preacher. And it wasn't until about 5 or so years later that I discovered the Bible actually originally belonged to my grandfather. You can see the typewriting in there. So I was pleasantly surprised. My grandparents gave me a heritage, but while this is nice, this was not the heritage my grandparents gave me. It was prayer. I remember as a small child in church, because my mom for a long time didn't go to church. My dad for several years didn't go to church. So I've been in church with my grandparents. And we would kneel down for prayer, because that church would kneel down for prayer. And I would learn. I would hear my grandma pray. And the person up front would say something, you know, Lord, we need you. We need your help. And she would say, yes, Jesus. And I learned, oh, I'm supposed to be praying in concert with whoever the lead person is who's praying. I'm supposed to be supporting them in prayer. And my grandfather, when I knew that God had called me to preach, I asked him, if you gave me one piece of advice, what would it be? And he said, stay on your knees. With all things he could have said, that's what he, stay on your knees. Be a man of prayer. Prayer is like nothing else. It is essential to the Christian faith. If you're not praying, you are dying spiritually. Prayer brings forgiveness to the sinner, sanctification to the saint. It brings strength to the weak and healing to the sick, wisdom to the foolish, hope to the hopeless, guidance to the lost, peace to the troubled, provisions to the wanting, and Christ to all. Praise the Lord. Prayer does that. I have some quotes on prayer. Never face a day until you prayed. Praying is to the soul what breathing is to the body. Neglect of private prayer is the locust which devours the strength of the church. Charles Spurgeon said that. There was a man by the name of E.M. Bounds who wrote a great many books on prayer. I've read several of them. I don't think I've read all of them. I don't think anyone was as prolific a writer on prayer as E.M. Bounds was. And I did happen to notice that for $1.50, you can buy the Kindle version of the complete works of E.M. Bounds on prayer. Almost 600 pages. And their books, there's 8 books altogether: Power Through Prayer, Prayer and the Praying Man, Purpose in Prayer, The Essentials of Prayer, The Necessity of Prayer, The Possibilities of Prayer, The Reality of Prayer, The Weapon of Prayer. All wonderful books. And in one of those books, E.M. Bounds wrote, the men in the pew given to praying for the pastor are like poles which hold up the wires along which the electric current runs. They are not the power, neither are they specific agents in making the word of the Lord effective, but they hold up the wires upon which the divine power runs to the hearts of men. I hope you guys are praying for me. I hope you're praying for each other. I hope you're praying for the church. Because if you're not, we are greatly weakened in our effectiveness as a church for Christ. Ian Bounds also wrote, "A holy mouth is made by praying." You have trouble with sin in your life? Start praying about it. It'll get cleaned up. There's a sanctifying effect of prayer. Samuel Bringle, who was a leader in the Salvation Army and himself a great writer, he wrote some wonderful books on holiness. He wrote that all great soul winners have been men of much and mighty prayer, and all great revivals have been preceded and carried out by persevering, prevailing knee work in the closet. Do you know that? John Bunyan, who wrote the book Pilgrim's Progress, and if you haven't read that book, I encourage you to. It's a wonderful book on the challenges a Christian meets in his or her life. And it's still a great book. It's around 400 years old, believe it or not. John Bunyan wrote it while he was in jail. And in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, he said that he wrote this: "About the midst of this valley, I perceived the mouth of hell to be, and it stood also hard by the wayside." So he's in this valley and he sees hell. "Now," thought Christian, who's the protagonist in the book, "what shall I do? And ever and anon the flame and smoke would come out in such abundance with sparks and hideous noises, things that care not for a Christian's sword, that he was forced to put up his sword and betake himself to another weapon called prayer." The Bible is our sword, but God gives us another weapon, prayer. Jesus used the sword in dealing with temptation of the devil. And prayer was also used by Christ, and we use it, we wield it for the Lord. Oswald Chambers, who's a wonderful writer and devotional writer, wrote, "We take for granted that prayer is preparation for work, whereas prayer is the work." We do. We tend to think, I got to get ready to live a Christian life, and so I need to make sure and pray. But prayer itself is the work that we do. He wrote, "Intercessory prayer is God's chosen way of working." Jesus expected us to pray. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 5 through 8 says, "Whenever you pray," Jesus said, "whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward." So Jesus first off infers, he didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. But you want to do it for the right reasons. You want to pray not so you're seen of people. "Oh, look at me. I'm so wonderful at praying. I'm so holy." You do it for God's glory. And God's going to know your heart. He's going to know why you're doing something. Verse 6, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." "And when you pray, don't be like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words." So don't worry that you may not have a bunch of words to say to God. most blessed times in prayer were times that I just couldn't find the words. And then God met with me. Verse 8, don't be like them because your Father knows the things you need before you. God already knows what you need. The Bible also says, and by the way, there's tons of stuff the Bible has to say in prayer. We could preach a whole, 2-3 months easily on just on prayer. We can't do that, right? At least not today. Maybe later on. Or maybe we'll do a connection group study on that. I don't know. But today is just a quick one-day capture. And so the first thing I wanted to point out was the Bible said Jesus expects us to pray. Second, prayer must be consistent, not just when we're in trouble, not just when we feel like it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. A very easy verse to memorize. You guys are ready to memorize a verse today? Pray constantly. There you go. Pray constantly. We're always in a spirit of prayer. Martin Luther once wrote, as it is the business of tailors to make clothes and cobblers the men's shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Did you know that? It's your business to pray. And I want to point out, too, that prayer is learned. As we walk with God, God teaches us. There's a school. We go through a school of prayer. In fact, Andrew Murray wrote a wonderful book called The School of Prayer. Prayer is learned. So it's okay to start the Christian life with little knowledge or experience of prayer. I have so many baby Christians like, oh, I can't pray. I'm not good at that. I don't want to do that. But those who do step up, they just got saved. They don't have all the Christian lingo down yet. But they're praying from the heart. And you notice something change. I've seen brand new Christians who, by men's knowledge and wisdom, should not be able to pray that well, but suddenly something changes and they pray with power. That's God. The Holy Spirit helps us. No matter how weak or strong your prayer life is right now, you can learn to grow even stronger. And so how do we grow even stronger? Number one, we grow stronger by meditating on Scripture. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the first Psalm. You can use Scripture to help you pray. Did you know that? Psalms is a great book to use for that because all of Psalms is really in and of itself a school on prayer. It will teach you how to pray. Let's look at the first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Lord, help me not to follow the ungodly. I don't want to follow sinners, God. I want to follow you. I want to be blessed. I want to stand in this world, in the world, but not of the world. I want to stand for Christ. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Lord, help me to delight in your word. Lord, grant me a passion for prayer and a hunger for your word. I prayed that from the time when I went to GBS, 17 years old, I began to pray that, Lord, grant me a passion for prayer and a hunger for your word. I want a passion for prayer. I want my delight to be in God's word. You see what I'm doing? I'm taking verses in the Bible and I'm talking to God about them. Verse 3 talks about being like a tree that brings forth fruit. Lord, plant me by your Spirit. Lord, may I bear your fruit. Help me to be strong, Lord. Help me to grow and to withstand the storms of life. Help me, Lord, to grow big so I can be a shelter for others. So I can encourage others. So I can lift people up. All this prayer that I'm offering to the Lord is coming from just those three verses. So we can meditate, we can think about God's word, and that helps us to pray. Helps us to get better at prayer. Another thing we can do to grow even stronger in our prayer, the second thing is praying with others. Amen? We pray with each other. We gather together on Sundays and pray together Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Thursday nights, and we pray. When we have our prayer concerts, we pray. When we pray together, lift our voices up, we take turns leading prayer. And just like I told you, as a child, I would hear my grandparents pray and I would learn from that. So other new Christians hear us pray and learn from that. And don't miss any opportunity to pray with others. Every time the church doors are open, I wish we have some people that are missing. And they're really hurt. You know why it bothers me? It's not because I get paid more, right? I don't get paid from the church. I get no benefit of myself when people come to church. It's because I know it's hurting them. They're hurting themselves. They're making life more difficult in themselves when they miss church. So don't miss any opportunity if you can help it to make it to church. We can grow even stronger in prayer by reading books about prayer. I mentioned the books by Ian Bounds, right? I was looking earlier this morning, I was looking at my Kindle list. I've been buying Kindle books since, I think, 2015, something like that. So over the past 4 years, I shouldn't pull forward that by 2012. I'm buying Kindle books, and so I did a quick search on prayer. I've read Answers to Prayer from George Mueller's Narratives. Read that. That's a good one. Draw the Circle, the 40-Day Prayer Challenge, Fresh Encounters, Experiencing Transformation Through United Worship and Prayer, The Handbook to Prayer, Praying Scriptures Back to God, In Search of Solitude, Living the Classical Christian Hours of Prayer, Old Paths, New Power, Awakening Your Church Through Prayer and Ministry. Thomas Aquinas, his book on prayer and the contemplative life. Preacher and Prayer by E.M. Bounds. So those are some of the books I've read on prayer. I encourage you to read good Christian books too. And read, if you want to get a jump start to your prayer life, find a good book on prayer. It'll work. It'll happen. I want to close the sermon today by reminding you all. We talked about our responsibility of prayer, and we talked about how to strengthen our prayer life and what prayer does for us. I also want to remind you, finally, that God answers prayer. And we've talked before about how God's answered prayer in our church many times, right? God answered prayer for Tim and Emmett and Cheyenne and Missy and Cody. And Carlos, you and I talked about how God answered prayer for you when I first met you in the hospital. Years ago, the church that Missy and I went to when we were dating, Burlington Bible Church, I was going to college there, and it had to be January, cold January morning, that Sunday, we were getting ready to pray, and they always had testimonies, things where God has helped us, has encouraged us, and strengthened us. And this lady got up and talked about how God had answered prayer for her, actually for her daughter. She had a little girl. I don't remember how old she was now, but I'm pretty sure she was seven or eight. And her mom had walked by her room as she was praying to God. And she was walking by her room, her daughter was knelt down, and she was asking Jesus, or actually telling Jesus, what she wanted for Christmas. And she told Jesus she wanted a green bicycle for Christmas. Please get me a green bicycle for Christmas. And the parents were having some great trouble financially, had very little money. And so it was tough enough, the idea of trying to find a way to get her a bicycle for Christmas. How can she do that? And the mom was like, Lord, why did it have to be green? You know, tough enough to find a bicycle of any color, but now a green one, what could she possibly do? Fast forward a few weeks. Another lady in the church, completely oblivious to this little girl's prayer, was out yard selling. Came upon a yard sale and saw a little bicycle. And she felt the Lord very strongly. She felt very strongly that the Lord wanted her to buy that bicycle for this family. And so she did. And she brought it to the mom, and the mom was excited. And that Christmas morning, the little girl came into the room, and there's this beautiful green bicycle. God answers prayer. Praise the Lord. Let's stand.
Thank you for joining us. If you liked this podcast, then hit the subscribe button. Also, take some time to rate us. Feel free to check out our website at servantsheartchapel.org, and you can email us at servantsheartchapel@gmail.com. Thanks again, and have a blessed week.